In fact, he's going to need help from the priest Eli. It's in the middle of the night, and the Lord calls for Samuel. And Samuel gets up and runs to Eli, but Eli tells him, "I didn't call for you." It'll happen twice, and then again, even a third time. This time, Eli recognizes what's happening, and he will tell Samuel what to do the next time. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Samuel hears, and Samuel recognizes the voice of God, and he's never the same after that night. And really, neither is Israel, as everyone immediately recognizes God is with Samuel, and God is speaking to Samuel through him as well. For sure, it's true, the Lord still speaks to his people today, doesn't he? It's true. The Lord still speaks to his people today. Unfortunately, this is probably equally true. A lot of times, like Samuel, it can take us a bit of time to recognize his voice, can it? This last week, over probably a couple of different days, you know what this is like, your own life as well. I find myself seemingly to read the same thing over and over again in my devotional time, different portions of scripture, different books of the Bible, different verses, but all of them seeming to allude to the same thing. It was as if every time in the devotional time, or even outside of my devotional reading and just regular reading as well, it seemed to be about the same thing. No matter where I read, it seemed to be that I was drawn to the same words, the same phrases, the same thought, the same idea. And if you're like me, you're initially sort of inclined to gloss over that the first time. "Oh, that was interesting. That's pretty good." And then the second time, "Oh, wow, I like the thought of that. Hey, you know what? In fact, I think I read that yesterday." And then the third and fourth time, but eventually you get to the place, "Wait a minute. It was yesterday, and it was the day before, and it was the day before that, and it was this book, and it was that book, and it was in my devotional reading here, and it was in my devotional reading there. I think the Lord is speaking." And then probably best our response to be like that of Samuel: "Speak, Lord. I'm finally tuned in. I get it now. It's you talking to me. It's not just a coincidence. It's not just happens to be the same idea scattered throughout a number of different verses. God, you're speaking. I'm listening now." So this last week, this is what I sensed the Lord speaking to my heart, because it was something that just wouldn't go away. It was something that was everywhere. And I share it with you this morning again because it's my heart. It's what I'm thinking about. It's what I'm focused on, but also, and more this, because it's more than just about what's going on inside of me. I'm wondering, I'm thinking maybe, as the Lord spoke this into my heart, so he would speak it into yours today. The thought, the thing that just wouldn't go away: praise him. Praise him. That's all. Just a stirring within my heart to praise the Lord, oh my soul. And an encouragement and challenge even as well for us today. Church, listen, isn't God good? He's so good to us. Doesn't he deserve our praise? Let's be a people that know what it is to get serious, get for real, get excited and even enthusiastic about praising God. Not because we're in the business of putting on a show. Not because we want everyone to see us and we want to be the center of attention. But no, just because God so deserves our praise. Praise him. Psalm 34 is where you're at. Verse 1, "I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. I will constantly speak of his glories and grace. I will boast of all his kindness to me. Let all who are discouraged take heart. Verse 3. Let us praise the Lord together and exalt his name. To praise the Lord is to bless the Lord. It's to exalt him. It's to extol him. It's to glorify him. It's to magnify him. It's to speak well of him. It's to say good things about Jesus. It's to admire him. It's to honor, to worship. It's to recognize and attribute worth to God. We sang it just a moment ago. It's to speak of his awesomeness. It's to declare his worthiness. That's what we're doing when we're praising God. This is joyfully thanking God for all that he's done and all that he's been to us. It's adoring God. It's the celebration of God. When we praise him, it's, Lord, we celebrate you. We celebrate all that you are. We celebrate all that you do. I love this. It's to call attention to God. You remember the story of Job. It's an incredible one for sure. But the story of Job, oftentimes we miss it because we're so tuned into Job's suffering. We miss how his story begins, really, with the scene in heaven. God speaking to Satan of all entities. In Job 1 and verse 8, the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." You get what God is doing, right? He's calling attention to Job. We know the rest of the story. "Hey, God, please don't call attention to me. It's Satan. You see my man, Job, right? You've noticed Job, haven't you, devil? I mean, the guy is awesome. He's blameless. He lives right before me. He loves me. He adores me. He honors me." When we praise God, we call attention to God. Hey, world. Hey, family. Hey, friends. Hey, Flushing. Hey, my brothers and sisters. Hey, devil. Have you considered my God? He's awesome. There's no one like him. He's good. What he does is good. He's mighty. He's great. And he is greatly to be praised. That's what we do when we praise God. We call attention to him. I want to ask you this morning. I know you've been talking about the election. I know you've been talking about the trouble. I know you've been talking about the pain, the aches, the moans and groans in your body. I know you've been complaining about the economy. I know you've been grumbling about how little money you had and how wish you had more. I know you've been complaining when you filled the car up with gas. But I'm asking you this morning, how much have you shouted to the world? Hey, world, have you noticed my God? He's awesome. He's wonderful. He's good. I'm praising him. I don't care about the election. I'm praising God. I don't care about the economy. I don't care about how miserable the world is and my part in it. I'm praising Jesus today because there's no one like him. There's no one deserving. There's no one worthy of my praise like he is. The hymn says it this way, praise him, praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, ye saints, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him. Hail him, mightiest angels in glory, strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will feed his people. In his arms, he carries them all day long. Oh, ye saints that live in the light of his presence, praise him. Praise him ever in joyful song. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him. Hail him, Jesus, the crucified, loving Savior, meekly enduring sorrow, crowned with thorns that cruelly pierced his brow, once for us rejected, despised, and forsaken. Prince of glory, ever triumphant, now praise him. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet, priest, and king. Death is vanquished. Tell it with joy, ye faithful. Where is now thy victory, boasting grave? Jesus lives. No longer thy portals are cheerless. Jesus lives, the mighty and strong to save. Praise him. Praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Just a few minutes this morning to talk to you about praise. But really, I want you to hear my heart this morning. The message is a simple word. Let us praise the Lord together and exalt his name. The first thing that I want you to see, the command to praise. A good bit of the latter part of Psalms repeats for us again and again the simple command, praise the Lord. Probably concluded best with the very last verse of the Psalms from Psalm 150. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's interesting, my mind was sort of captured by that thought, let everything that has breath. When the religious leaders tried to shut down the praise of Jesus, Jesus lets them to know, you remember it, that if the people don't praise him, the rocks will. In the context of Psalm 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And if that has breath doesn't, well then that doesn't have breath will. The Lord commands praise. And he's going to get it. Oh, listen to me, New Life. Let it be that he gets it then from us. Let us determine, and you've heard the expression before, we will not let the rocks cry out. Not on our watch, we'll declare. Because we who have breath, oh, we're going to praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter writes, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. Verse 9, he continues, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. To what end? Why? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul reveals to us, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We're chosen before even the foundations of the world. We are adopted into God's family. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1, we have received redemption. We've received the forgiveness of sins. The riches of God's grace has been lavished on us. Paul declares in Ephesians 1, and he sort of sums up the why of it all in verse 6, in verse 12, and finally in verse 14 as well. Why the blessing? Why the choosing of us? Why the adoption? Why the redemption? Why the riches of his grace? Why all of that? To the praise of his glory, Paul writes. All that God has ever done in us, all that God would ever do in us, all that God would ever do for us, all that God would do now, all that God will do in the days to come, it all finds its purpose in this, to the praise of his glory. The command is to praise the Lord. So we speak praiseworthy things about him. We attribute worth to him. We extol him. We magnify him. We honor him. Listen, the message this morning, please don't misunderstand. It's not about 10:30 to 11, what we call our worship time or praise time, where we sing a few songs. Though it is about that. And let me encourage you. I'll tell you why you need to be singing what's up on the screen. Listen, if you don't sing, then that's fine. But I'll tell you why you need to be saying what's on the screen. Because in those words, we are praising Jesus. We are attributing worth to God. We are extolling him. We're magnifying Him. We're not just singing a song. We're declaring the goodness of God. We're declaring His greatness, His majesty, His love, His mercy, and His grace, and His mighty deeds done for us. The working of His mighty power on our behalf. And listen, I'll tell you why. This message this morning needs to be more in your mind than just about a few songs that we sing on Sunday, Pastor, telling us we need to sing better. We need to participate more. Forget all of that. Because listen, I'm telling you this morning, if Jesus is worthy to be praised Sunday morning, 10:30 to 11, you better believe He's worthy to be praised every single moment, even in fact of every single day. Don't miss it. Listen, praise Him better when you're in here. Oh, you listen. Declare His worth. Attribute to Him the glory that's due His name. But praise doesn't end when the last slide goes to black. Praise doesn't end when we walk out through those doors. Well, our church time is done. There goes our business with God until next Sunday. I'm telling you this morning, let it be that the praise, in fact, has just begun. And our lives are going to be lived as lives of praise and worship to Him from Sunday to Sunday, every moment, every day of every given week. The command, the mandate of Scripture, it's simple, it's clear. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The command to praise. Number two, the reason for praise. The reason for praise. He's worthy. We'll start with that. He's worthy. When God does for you like God does, He's worthy of your praise. I like it how one pastor puts it, until somebody dies on the cross for all my sins, they will not get my praise. They will not get my life. They will not get my devotion. Only Jesus will get that. Because as of yet, calendar to date, He's the only one that has died for all of my sins and to make me right again with God. Psalm 96, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name, proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Psalm 145, I will exalt You, my God the King. I will praise Your name forever and ever. Every day I'll praise You and extol Your name. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His faithfulness no one can fathom. Revelation 4, when the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You're worthy. You're worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being." Back in Ephesians, when Paul talks about all that is ours in Christ, we're blessed, chosen, adopted, all of that to the praise of His glory. The word that Paul uses for praise, it's only used in the New Testament context for what we do and what we give to God. And commentators will say it's done on purpose because they understand, because Paul understood the truth, the reality of it all. Only God truly deserves our praise. Only God is worthy. So the reason for praise, He's worthy. How about this as well? God delights in His people praising Him. Really, it's this. God delights in His people delighting in Him. And when we praise, in fact, really, we could define praise that way. Yes, it's attributing worth, it's giving glory, it's giving honor, it's commending, it's complimenting, it's expressing appreciation. It is all of those things, but we could say it this way as well. To praise God is to delight in God. When you're praising Jesus, you're delighting yourself in Him and all that He is. When we praise Him for who He is, we're delighting ourselves in who He is. We're delighting in ourselves because of all that He is. And God delights in that. God values us valuing Him. God delights in us delighting in Him. In Genesis 8, Noah is just getting off the ark. The flood is finished. And Noah builds an altar to the Lord. And taking some of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. I love this. I love the picture this presents. Verse 21. Then the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma. It's as if God's in heaven minding his own business. And Noah steps off of that ark, builds himself an altar, lays upon that altar clean animals designated by God. And the smoke from that altar, God doing what God does in heaven, enjoying the praises of all the heavenly hosts, all of a sudden, time out, stop. What is that? There's a pleasing aroma that I'm detecting. And God's attention is turned towards Noah, and the sacrifice that Noah has offered prompts God to declare this. The rest of verse 21, never again will I curse the ground. Every inclination of his heart is evil, but I won't do it. Never again will I destroy all living creatures as long as the earth endures. Sea time, harvest, cold, heat, summer, winter, day and night will never cease. Noah's sacrifice and of praise and his worship to God who had saved him from the flood, God delighted in it. It was a sweet, a pleasing aroma to him. We sing the chorus every now and then, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King. Take joy, my King. In what you hear, let it be a sweet sound in your ear. When we praise him, when we worship him, and we do so rightly, Jesus's command, we do it in spirit and in truth. Jesus's admonition, we don't just worship him with our mouths while our hearts are far from him. We're not doing that though. We're praising him. We're worshiping him rightly, sincerely. We're offering to him the sacrifice that is our praise. And it is a sweet sound in his ear. It is a pleasing aroma to him. The Lord delights in our praise. The Lord delights in us delighting in him. It makes him happy. It puts a smile on his face. And incidentally, it makes him want to do more good for us. Check this out. Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know how often we're inclined to jump just to the end of that verse 4 of Psalm 37? Oh, God's so good, he grants to me the desires of my heart. Oh, not so fast, my friend. God didn't say he grants to you the desires of your heart. God didn't even say he grants to his children the desire of his heart, their heart. God says, delight yourself in me, and I will grant to you the desires of your heart. The Lord delights in you, delighting in him. And when he sees you doing that, his response, he gives to you what your heart desires from him. We praise him. Why? Well, he's worthy. That's why. And he takes great delight and great pleasure in us praising him. That's why we praise him. How about this? Psalm 22, you're holy. You are enthroned on the praises of Israel. One translation, the King James, we're used to this perhaps, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Psalm 117, praise the Lord, all ye nations, extol him, all ye peoples, for great is his love toward us, And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. How about we praise Him because He's worthy? How about we praise Him because He delights in our praise? How about we praise Him because He enthrones Himself on our praises? How about we praise Him because He loves us and His faithfulness towards us is unfathomable? Psalm 150, praise Him for His acts of power. How about that for a good reason to praise Jesus? Because His power is great. The surpassing greatness of His power is the implied text, Psalm 150. Isaiah 25, you're my God. I'll honor you. I'll praise you. You have done miraculous things. You have been completely reliable. How about that, a reason to praise the Lord this morning? Because He has done miracles for you and me, miracles so great, because He is most reliable and dependable. Jeremiah 20, sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. How about we praise Him because He promises to never leave us, never forsake us? How about we praise Him because He has plans not to harm us, but to bless us, to give us hope, to give us a future? How about we praise Him because He's the all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful, always present God? How about we praise Him because His mercies are new every morning? How about we praise Him because He's a God who cannot lie? His promises are good and His promises are true. How about we praise Him because He's the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world? How about we praise Him because as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our sins from us. How about we praise Him because all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved? How about we praise Him because He's redeemed us, because in Him we have life, abundant life, life to the full, more and better life than we could ever hope for, dream up, or imagine? How about we praise Him because in Him we have eternal life, because death, the grave, have been conquered in Him? How about we praise Him because to be absent from this body is to be present with Jesus? How about we praise Him because He's good and what He does is good? How about we praise Him because He's our Creator? All of creation is His. He holds it all in the palm of His hands. How about we praise Him because He has given life and breath to us? How about we praise Him because every good gift, everything good in your life has come from Him? How about we praise Him for this? Praise the Lord, for He showed His wonderful love to me when I was in a besieged city. In my alarm, I said, I'm cut off from Your sight. Yet You heard my cry for mercy when I called to You for help. How about we praise Him because He hears our cry for mercy? Psalm 91, how about we praise Him because He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, how about we praise Him because He's our refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save us from the fowler's snare and from the pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you'll find refuge, His faithfulness. How about we praise Him because His faithfulness will be our shield in our rampart? You'll not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, the plague that destroys. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked if you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who's your refuge. How about we praise Him? No harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels. How about we praise Him? Because from heaven's throne, He commands His angels concerning you and to guard your way. John 16, how about we praise Him? Because though in this world we do have trouble, oh, we can take heart because He has overcome the world. How about we praise Him because He's our healer? How about we praise Him, whether over sickness or Satan, we do have the victory. We are more than conquerors. How about we praise Him for that? How about this, the story from Joshua as he takes Jericho and then on into the promised land. One devotional, one author writes, God's word to Joshua is God's word to us. Be strong and of good courage. Do not cower before your woes. Take the land God has given you to possess. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. God did not say, Joshua, take the city. God said, Joshua, receive the city. I've taken it for you. Joshua didn't go forth hoping to win. He knew that in God he had already won. And the author continues, how about we praise Him? Because the same can be said about you and your challenge. God says, receive the blessing of my victory. The question is not, will you overcome? It's simply, when will you overcome? Life will always bring challenges, but God will always give the strength to face them and to overcome them. For that, for His sustaining strength, we praise Him. How about simply this? Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. And that is just the beginning of all the reasons you have to praise the Lord. Number three, the command to praise, the reason for praise. Number three, the impact of praise. God's glorified when we praise Him. God's exalted and lifted up. God's magnified when we praise Him. God's esteemed. God's celebrated. God is adored. And God delights in all of that when we praise Him. One more still. When we praise Him, God draws near to us. We saw it earlier from Psalm 22. God enthrones Himself on the praises of His people. Again, the King James, God inhabits the praises of His people. God takes up dwelling in the midst of His people praising Him. Praise moves God to respond on our behalf. We read it from Noah's story. There was a sweet aroma of praise, a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and God responded, a promise never to destroy the earth by flood again, a rainbow in the sky to reveal and remind us of His promise. The next time you see one, consider this. It's a reminder of what God is inclined to do when we praise Him. We considered the promises of Psalms a minute ago. When we delight ourselves in God, God delights Himself in us. And when that happens, granted to us the desires of our hearts. Listen. Praise is always and only for God. That's true. But when we praise Him, though God is surely blessed, He is as well surely inclined to bless us right back. It's sort of like giving. Giving is always and only about giving. It's not about getting. Giving is about generosity. It's never about greed, but nevertheless, the promise of Scripture is still this. You bring the tithe in, you give to the Lord, and though it's not about you getting, oh, you will get. Because God will open the windows of heaven up over your life, give you so much blessing, you won't even be able to contain it all. Praise is always all about God. Glorifying, exalting, celebrating, adoring. But when we praise Him, God comes near. He shows up and He shows off. And wow, how good it is for us when God does that. Quickly this morning in praise, our focus is turned off of self and back onto God. We read it earlier from Psalm 34. It was really our text this morning. I'll praise the Lord no matter what happens. I will constantly speak of His glories and grace. I will boast of all His kindness to me. Let all who are discouraged take heart. In praise, we speak of the Lord's glory and the Lord's grace. In praise, we boast of His kindness. In praise, we turn our attention and our focus on Him. And that is how the discouraged can take heart this morning. That is how the discouraged can be glad again. Are you discouraged today? You're thinking, well, if the Lord would just get me out of my trouble, I wouldn't be discouraged anymore. I would say to you, that's not the reality of Scripture. I would say to you, God's power is greater than that. God's power doesn't just sustain you when you're on the mountaintop of victory. God's power is great enough to sustain you in the valley of difficulty. God's power is not just enough to give you a song of praise on the mountain. God's power is such that it can give you a song of praise when you're in the valley, and in the valley that you're heart to be uplifted and for you to be able to rejoice again. How does it happen? You consumed by your problem? Let's be honest, that's where we as humanity lives. The problem comes. It's all we can think about. It's all we talk about. It's all we ever complain about. It's my problem is this and my problem is that, and I don't know how I'm going to get out, and I don't know if there's a solution that's ever going to come. And God from heaven says, stop it! Begin to praise me and watch as encouragement floods your soul in the midst of the difficulty that you're in. In praise, our focus is turned on God. And encouragement comes to the discouraged heart. In praise, we find humility. We remember in praise our dependency on God. That apart from Him, we truly can't do anything. We remember in praise that He's our Creator. That He's our King, that He's sovereign, that He's in control, that He's above all, that He's the Almighty God. And we remember in turn, we remember, oh, how I need Him. In praise, we're delivered from the terrible spirit of complaint and negativity. Come on, I'm speaking right now to some brothers and sisters in the room. It's through praise that we're delivered from that negativity and that complaint. In praise, our spirits are refreshed and renewed. Through the gates of praise, we enter into His presence. And in His presence, the psalmist tells us, there is the fullness of joy. As one writer puts it, we're strengthened by His peace and refueled by His joy. That happens in His presence. That happens as we enter His presence through the courts of praise. In praise, we're changed. Interesting verse in Jeremiah 2. The prophet writes this. This is what the Lord says in Jeremiah 2 and verse 5. Speaking of Israel's failure, what fault did your fathers find in me that they strayed so far from me? And then watch this. They followed worthless idols. What kind of idols? Worthless idols. And they became worthless themselves. They became what they worshiped. And if that's true, what happens when we devote our lives to worshiping and praising the Lord? Is it not maybe that a verse would be written of our lives? They worshiped the Lord and then became like the Lord themselves. The alternative, we're going to worship something worthless because all idols are worthless, and we're going to become worthless. New life, the quickest pathway for us to be a church that is worthless to the kingdom is to begin to worship worthless things. Listen to me, my brother and sister. The quickest path for you to be worthless in the kingdom of God is to begin to devote your life to worthless things. Oh, but when we devote our lives to Him, when we praise Him, when we worship Him, in the context of the verse, will we not become like Him? And is that not after all the goal of our Christianity? Can you imagine a church? Wow, that church is just like Jesus. That church ministers in the same power. Listen, I went in there sick. I came out whole. I don't know how it happened. It's just like Jesus did. Listen, those people love me just like Jesus loved me. Those people speak the truth to me just like Jesus spoke the truth to people in His day. Those people are just like Jesus over there. Is that not the goal of your life and of mine for us as a church, that we would be Jesus to whoever we see and whoever we meet? There's something that happens in praise. We become like the thing we praise. We become like the thing that we worship. In Jeremiah 2, they became worthless because they worshiped worthless things. But us, if we determine today, we're going to praise and worship Jesus. Oh, we will become like Him in praise. Our faith is renewed. Praise frees us from our fear. Properly aligns our faith with the truth of God's word and God's character. Praise reminds us of His wisdom. Praise reminds us of His power, of His love and His grace, His mercy, His providence, His faithfulness, His compassion. Reminds us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And in that reminder, faith grows in our heart. God, You are faithful. God, You are the supplier of my needs. Listen to what praise will do. Before, where you were wringing your hands in fear, oh no, what am I going to do? Praise will give you a song of victory. God, You are my healer. You are my deliverer. You're my shield and my rampart. And as you sing that song of praise, as you declare those words of praise, faith will arise in your heart. Oh God, it is true. Nothing is impossible for You. Do you see the difference? Come on, you know it's true. Just like me, we're all the time living over here. Oh no, what am I going to do? I'm telling you, there's a way out of that to live over here where our hands are lifted, our heart is lifted in praise to God, because He's the God who can do the impossible for us. Listen, believer, I know it. You like me, me like you, me more than you. All the time living over here in fear. God declares to us in His word today, listen, there's a way out of the fear and living instead in the faith that God is more than able to do far above anything you could ever even begin to imagine of Him. In praise, the victory comes. We don't have time this morning. You'll have to read it this week if you get a chance. 2 Chronicles 20, the king of Judah is Jehoshaphat, and there is a war raging until this, 2 Chronicles 20, as they begin to sing and to praise. The Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Psalm 8, from the lips of children and infants, You have ordained praise because of Your enemies. What's this? To silence the foe and the avenger. I like that. To silence the foe and the avenger. Listen, according to that verse, I'm just going to tell you this morning, I'm not sure that the devil can ever talk to you if your mouth is always filled with praise to the Lord. I'm not sure the devil can lie to you. I'm not sure the devil can torment you. I'm not sure the devil can speak encouragement to you if all the time your mouth is filled with praise to God. One translation says it this way, from the mouths, children of infants, You have built a fortress against your opponents to silence your enemies. Praise becomes a fortress of protection. Listen, when the devil is hot on your tail, run yourself into the fortress of praise. Begin to sing the wonders of your God and watch, just as it was in 2 Chronicles 20, your enemy flee from you. Not because of your great spirituality, not because you showed up to church, though I think some of those things maybe have the same effect. But because weak and frail as you were, Oh, there was a song of praise that came from your mouth that was not weak or frail at all. And through it, God sent your enemies scattering. In praise, we're set free. In praise, deliverance comes. Ask Paul and Silas, who praised him in the prison cell. The shackles came off. The chains were broken. The prison doors of bondage flung open wide for them, and will the same for us. In praise, blessing comes. In praise, the miraculous occurs. In praise, we're ushered into the presence of God, where we can experience the power of God. In praise, the manifestation of God's Spirit and God's power is experienced like never before. In praise, God draws near. And with that simple reality, enough said, because what more do we need? What more do we want than for God to draw near to us? If praise ushers us in, if praise ushers us into the presence of God, then let's leave it simply at this. Praise is life-changing. That's the impact of praise. It'll change your life. I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. I will constantly speak of His glories and grace. I will boast of all His kindness to me. Let all who are discouraged take heart. Let us praise the Lord together and exalt His name. And this morning I would add to that this from Psalm 71. I'll keep on expecting you to help me. I will praise you more and more. I like one translation, daily. I will add praise to praise. New Life, the simple word this morning, praise Him. And without meaning to complicate it, I'm going to add here at the close, praise Him more and more. Daily, add praise to your praise. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. We praise You. We praise You. Would you stand to your feet in this room? I don't know what you do. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. What good is it? We go through all these verses, we hear a message like this, and we don't conclude with a time of praise. I'm going to lift my hands. That's how I'm going to praise the Lord. That's scriptural, by the way. Praise Him. We lift our hands, we praise Him. The lifting of my hands is praise to Him. These altars are open. Maybe you would bow a knee. One day every knee will bow. Maybe you decide, I'm going to do it today. You lift your voice. You declare His worth. Compliment Jesus this morning. Come on. Say something good about Jesus. We're praising Him. We're praising the Lord. We hear the word of the Lord and our hearts are responsive. Like Samuel, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And the Lord says to us, praise the Lord, oh my soul. And that's what we do today. We just praise the Lord. You want to move from your seat? You want to sit down? You want to kneel at your seat? Just for a minute, we're just going to praise the Lord. We're not rushed. We don't need to be rushed. It's okay. Praising Jesus is more important than whatever the clock says right now. We're just praising the Lord in here. Hallelujah. We compliment You, Jesus. We adore You. We love You. Hallelujah. We magnify You. We magnify You. Hallelujah. Hey, Carrie, this is good. You got to turn that up a little bit. We're going to praise Him because He's good. Oh, He's good. Yes, You are. You're a good Father to us. Oh, we praise You. We are blessed because You're a good Father to us. We're just praising Jesus, church. We're just praising just for a minute still. Don't be uncomfortable. It's not awkward. It's not weird. We're all doing it together. You just do, maybe you want to clap your hands for a moment. I'm just praising Jesus in this room. Maybe you want to lift your voice louder. Hey world! Have you noticed my God? There's no one like Him. There's no one like Him. Oh, maybe somebody in the room to your problem. Hey mountain! Hey sickness! Hey pain! Have you noticed my God? There's no one like my God. He's the Almighty God. He rules over you, mountain. He rules over you, sickness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you. We praise you this morning. It doesn't matter how it looks like from you, church. A quiet moment of prayer where you kneel yourself at your pew, but you praise Him. You praise Him this morning. Hey, come on. Listen.